The book of Esther, chapter 8. I guarantee you we're going to finish today, chapter 8. And the reason why I know that, we're going to start on the last verses in the book of chapter 8. Read with me verse 15 through 17 and we come back to the verses you read this morning. And Mordecai went out from the presence of the king in royal apparel, a blue and white, with a great crown of gold, and with a garment of fine linen and purple, and the city of Shushan rejoiced and was glad. The Jews had light and gladness and joy and honor. And in every province and in every city, wherever the king's commandment and his decree came, the Jews had joy and gladness, a feast and a good day. And many other people of the land became Jews, for the fear of the Jews fell upon them. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for being our God. And thank you for moving your servant out of the way, for having the freedom to say and do whatever to whomever. For those of us who need comfort, Father, I pray you would comfort us. And for those of us who need conviction, I pray you would convict us. There's nothing in all the world that is greater than you, your word, your truth. May after hearing it this morning, we would never be the same. For you are the God of change that, my Father, is what I pray for all of us, a change in how we see things. In Jesus' most precious and glorious name, we all say, praise God. Amen. What I would like to emphasize today is if you trust God enough to see him finally come through, are you satisfied with the way he came through? If you trust God long enough to see him come through, are you satisfied the way he comes through? And if you are satisfied when he comes through, how long do you stay satisfied? Can I get an amen from somebody? See, all of us want God to come through. All of us want God to answer our prayers. All of us don't want to go through something just to be going through something. We like to know that there is a purpose, and we all do. That's something we never have to worry about, something we never have to think twice about. It's going to make you like Christ. So you can always know that. But how are we in our trust? Remember, we've been really centering on trust. Do you really trust God? Can you really relax? Now, the Jews had an edict put out by Haman before he was hanged and the king that they could kill all the Jews. After we noticed it was no possible way for the law of the Medes and the Persians to be changed, the best thing they could do is come up with something to give them some defense. The first order of self-defense written in the Bible as a law. And we talked about how precious that is. But how many of us tried to get out of what God is trying to teach us too soon? That's why God is sovereign and we are not. Reminds me of the goose. You guys know what a goose is?
Yes, sir.
Canadian goose. One of the big boys. It's a 747 of geese.
Yes, sir.
as your pastor who wants to warn you, never be on the flock of geese that's flying over. Some of you country folks already understand that. You city slickers will get it on the way home. And if you don't get it, you will get it. Can I have an amen? Man's been a goose that decided it didn't want to do what it was created to do. It's created to fly south for the winter. Get down to some place where it was warm. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
Only way to get it in some of these churches is to ask for it. Can I get an amen? I'm going to start having signs. Praise the Lord. Oops, there it is. You know what I mean? Amen. Can I borrow that today? Let me borrow that sign. Right? Church is going to be all right. You've been here too long. So the goose decided, man, it didn't have to listen to what it was created to do. So it decided, I ain't flying south for the winter. I'm staying right here. Can't be that bad. Man, all them miles of flying and people shooting at you. I'm staying right here. So he did pretty good. I mean, all the other geese left, and the goose had all the fields by himself. All the food that was left. Woo! Yes, sir. I knew it wasn't that bad. Then it hit the first snow. Goose started thinking, man, this is not good. Food's covered up. I'm cold. Nobody around. I got to go. So the goose decides it's going to fly south now. It's better to go south. So it gets up about 2,000 feet, wings locks up. That's how they lock up. Falls to the ground, just upset and mad. I know it. I can't believe how bad life is. Here I am laying in the cold, froze. I can't believe it. And as he's complaining and crying, a cow walks over him. Stops. Big cow pie right on him. Walks off. He's laying there, oh, I cannot believe it's getting worse. Can you believe how many hours just here freezing? Bam, bam, pow, ah! Cow just dumps all over me. All of a sudden, he started realizing he's feeling warmer. Wings start throwing out. Man, so while I'm sitting and waiting, I'm going to just start singing. So he starts singing and humming. Well, he fell next to a ranch. Several of the barn cats heard the singing. Came out, dug him out, killed him and ate him. What? You waiting for something else? That just happened. That's the truth. Now, the moral of this story is this. I know you're glad I got a moral to the story. Yeah, I got to preach now. Y'all slow it down. Moral of the story is this. Everyone that dumps on you is not your enemy. And everyone that digs you out is not your friend. And what you and I better realize, and we better realize it quick, if God has had you someplace and you feel all pressured and you feel all life is falling on you and all bad situations is buried you, if it isn't God that's going to get you out, it's not your friend. Here's a Jewish people sitting there thinking that life is the worst that it could ever be. There have been an edict put out that we're going to die. And I'm a firm believer that you and I as Christians have a difficult time waiting on God to come through. And when he does come through, most of the time we're only satisfied for a little while. So I want us to leave here today as we walk through this. Are you really satisfied? Can you really stay satisfied when God comes through? Verse 8, Esther 8. Write you also concerning the Jews as it pleased you in the king's name. Seal it with the king's ring. For the writing which is written in the king's name and sealed with the king's ring may not be reversed. Law of the Medes and Persians of the first law that you're going to be killed cannot be reversed. But I'm going to give you the opportunity to write something to negate what the first law says. I'm going to give you a way to stand on the first law of the Medes and the Persians. Verse 9. Then were the king's scribes called at that time in the third month, that's June, that is the month Sivan, on the 23rd day of it, and it was written according to all that Mordecai commanded unto the Jews, and to the deputies, to the governors, to the prince of the provinces, which are from India unto Ethiopia, 127 provinces, unto every province according to its writing, and to every people after their language, and to the Jews according to their writings, and according to their language. All was written for the benefit of saying, you can defend yourself. Now, I don't know about you. Do you remember what it's like when God comes through for you? Can you remember just sitting and you're thinking it's over? It is not going to work. I don't know how we're going to make it. I don't know how we're going to do another day. And that day is the last day that God comes through and he just surprised you with the way he works things out. How many of you remember those days? How many of you had a day like that? Don't raise your hand, because if you don't raise your hand, I'm going to say, why not? How many of us can remember the glory of the pressure that was pulled off of us? But you see, God isn't excited about you being excited after he comes through. What motivates our God and excites our God is to see you excited before he comes through. No. Don't give me no courtesy responses on this one. Why is it that we have to look back and see, oh, that was God's plan, and then enjoy? Why is it we have to look back months and years sometimes of walking through some difficulties, and now that God has answered, oh, we feel relieved? Was God the God last year as he is the God this year? Will he be the God next year? Can you rest in the fact that God is the one that's faithful, not your experiences, not the moment that he comes through? He's just as faithful when you're at your worst part of your life. Are you satisfied with him, how he comes through? Because if you can't be satisfied with him before he comes through, you're going to find reason why you don't have to stay satisfied after he comes through. Want me to prove it? I don't want you to think I'm just blowing beans. We've already learned that motto. I want you to know this is talking about truth of God's word in your life personally, not the church's life, not my friend's life, not my mate's life, my life. God wants you to live it personally with him, not having to wait until he comes through to get the pressure off of yourself, to get the worry off of you. I don't know what it is. It's very difficult. Look at verse 12. upon one day in all the provinces of King Ahasuerus, Xerxes, named upon the 13th day of the 12th month, which is the month of February, the copy of the writing for a commandment to be given in every province was published unto all people, and that the Jews should be ready for that day to avenge themselves on their enemy. Isn't it amazing that God probably didn't do it the way the Jews wanted them to do it? Because if it was left up to me, can I have an amen so bad? If it was left up to me, I'm going to tell you how I would want the Lord to answer that prayer of deliverance. I want him to kill everybody. I don't want to pick up no weapon. I don't want to put myself in danger. Yeah, God's going to come through, but man, I may get killed in the process of him coming through if I got to go out and fight. God, I appreciate you saying I can fight, but I don't want to fight. I don't want to have to defend myself. I don't think that's too good of an answer prayer, Lord. Anybody in here can relate to what I'm saying? Well, Lord, you know I need a job. But I'm not that excited about getting up and going to work. It'd be all right if you just sent a check. I won't say that. I appreciate you giving me a Lord job, but a Lord job? Whew. I think some of us need a Lord job to wake us up. I appreciate you giving me a job, Lord. But you know it's not the one I wanted. It don't pay enough. I don't know about you, but 50 cents an hour is better than minus 50 cents an hour. $15 an hour. It's better than nothing an hour. But you know how many of us as believers can get a job that God brings and we'll say no? It don't fit my education. That's below my dignity. Hungry is below my dignity. Kids walk in. What's to eat? Well, we have some sandwiches. Don't want no sandwiches. You ain't hungry. If you can tell me what you're not gonna eat. I'm sorry, but we shouldn't make Christianity practical. You know what I'm saying? Lord, can you give me some peace in this situation? Lord comes back to you and says, I am your peace in this situation. Well, God, I appreciate you being peace, but I need some more peace. I feel overshadowed. Somebody's watching me. I'm going to tell you how observant I am. I'm in the whole first part of the service. One of the ushers walked up to me and said, how you like the screen in the middle? I go, what screen in the middle? I was still looking over there. That's beautiful, isn't it? And I'm supposed to be leading. know. I just don't understand, folks. Are we satisfied when God's come through? If we're not, what's the problem? If we are, why does it only last for a little while? Because, I mean, I just don't understand how you and I cannot be blown away with the fact that he came through. And with the fact of knowing he's going to come through. I mean, wow. We are Christians. We are little Christ-like beings. We have the answer. But it just isn't enough at times. Why is that? Can you come to the conclusion he is enough? And even though I cannot see what tomorrow brings, I know he's with me today. And if he wants to come through, he can come through anytime he wishes. And I can rest in that, and I don't have to get the answer to rest. I guess you're from Missouri, so you need some proof of what I'm talking about. Turn with me to the book of Exodus. And if you have a problem finding it, all the way to the left. And if you get to Genesis, you just went too far. Genesis, Exodus. Exodus chapter 14. Are you with me? When we get out of Esther, if rapture doesn't happen first, we're going to go to 1st and 2nd Peter. When we finish with 1st and 2nd Peter, I'm thinking about doing the book of Exodus. It's been years if we did it at all. I know I did it with the guys, but I don't remember if we ever preached it on Sunday. But we're going to do the book of Exodus after 1st and 2nd Peter, and that would be a miracle if God hadn't come to get us yet. My. God has got the people out of Egypt. They have left, when we find ourselves in chapter 14. And they've been locked in. They've been hemmed in by the Red Sea on one side and the Egyptian army on the other side. And all of a sudden, they start their complaining. Oh, you weren't happy just leaving us in Egypt. Oh, you brought us out here to the desert to die. We could have died in comfort. They forgot how bad it was. Can I have an amen? Yeah. So they're crying, just complaining. And they cried unto the Lord, not for help. They cried unto the Lord for complaint. When you cry unto the Lord, which one is it? Are you crying unto the Lord for help? Are you crying unto the Lord because you are frustrated and don't like the way he's doing things? Somebody make me a couple other signs like hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Preach it. Oof. Hoorah. You know, give me a couple of signs, but we just flash them on the screen. You got Exodus chapter 14. If you got it, give me a little praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Verse 13. We find that the boys is letting everybody know how they feel. And Moses stands up and said unto the people, fear not, stand still. See the salvation of the Lord which he will show to you today. When? When can God come through for you and I? Today. Any minute. The Egyptians who you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. I don't know if any English teacher will let him pass that course on that sentence. But I think we all get the drift. You see those bad boys over there want to kill you? Don't worry about that. Today, you'll never have to worry about seeing them again. And you know what? There's got to be some Egyptians on the other side. There's got to be some Israelites on this side saying, well, could you hurry it up? Can't. Lord, I know you can come through today, but I'm worried about this hour. Guys, I don't want you resting tomorrow after I come through. Because if you don't learn to rest before I come through, you're not going to be satisfied afterwards, because I'm going to have to bring you something just as quick. Oh, don't we have a wonderful God? Oh. I like this. You like it, Joe? Verse 14, the Lord shall fight for you, and you should hold your peace. In other words, lock your lips. How many of us make the situation worse by using our oris or vocalize? Just talk like it's the worst time, the worst thing could ever happen. Oh, my goodness. Woe is me. I can't believe it. And I know that God got holy earplugs. Peter, wake me up when they stop. Please. Woo. I don't know about you, but I can get excited by some promises like this. What? We do have promises like this? Oh, my goodness. Verse 15. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore cry thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel, that they go forward. But lift thou up thy rod, stretch out thine hand over the sea, divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry land. Look at that. You don't even have to walk through mud. Because there will be somebody in the group that will be claiming I got my shoes dirty. Is muddy shoes better than a dirty shirt? Is muddy shoes better than a bloody shirt? I don't think so with us Christians. Get ready, boys. Well, they're on us. They're right there. Well, let me see here. I'm going to drop a pillar of fire between you and the Egyptian army. I'm going to drop a pillar of what?
Fire.
Between what? In the Egyptian army. You know what he's dropped in the middle of all of us right now as believers? It's better than a pillar of fire. He dropped the Holy Spirit in you. Wow! Ow! Ow! Burns just as good. Give just as much light and secure me from my enemy. Somebody got to give me a.
Amen.
We shouldn't enjoy this Christianity stuff this much. Oh, God just blinds them. I'm going to save my great antics when we preach this book. But you got to look at some. I mean, somebody's got to be blinded. God drops a pillar of fire between you and the people you're after, and you don't turn around? Can I get an amen? It's got to be something. It's got to be one Egyptian there. One. Says, yo. You know what's even worse? The pillar of fire only gave light to the Israelites. Totally dark on the Egyptian side. And as Christians, we always have the light of God in a bad situation. We just refuse to see it. Are you satisfied with the way he comes through? God splits the Red Sea. And the word that's used is God walled. He jelloed the wall of water. Anyone know what that means? It wasn't a solid wall. The wall moved. How would you like to walk through that wall of the Red Sea? On both sides of you. You know what, folks? They get on the other side. Take some time to read it. And they get on the other side and they worry that the water is still open. The Egyptians are going to come through after us. Can we ever rest in God? I'm asking you, Christians, can we ever rest in God? Egyptians came through and God turned the water back, took the power out of the walls, drowned every one of them suckers. Every one of them. Saw their bodies floating up, and the people in chapter 15 start singing praises to the God, for the Lord, the end of 14 and 15. They started praising God. You know how long the praise lasted? 3 days. Are you satisfied with how God comes through? And if you are satisfied, how long does your satisfaction last? Is that enough? Can I go somewhere else? Oh, you guys are so enthusiastic. If you want to. What was that word? C'est la vie? Is that Alabamian? That's South Alabama. You grew up in Georgia. You did, right. I'm sorry, bro. We're close. Turn real quick to Daniel chapter 6. We touched upon this a little bit on the first part of chapter 6. I want to take us to the latter part of chapter 6 of the book of Daniel. Got it? Say praise the Lord when you get it. Verse 16. Then the king commanded they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spoke and said unto Daniel, thy God, not my God, can I have an amen? Amen. Your God, whom you serve continually, he will deliver you my land. Do we live for Christ good enough that enemy who does not know God know that we're going to be different in a difficult situation? Know that the God that we serve can come through for us. Daniel didn't say that. The king said this. Your God will come through for you. I'm going to give you a little secret. I never want a non-believer to tell me how I'm supposed to trust God. I never want a non-believer to turn around and look at me and say, I thought you was a Christian. Can I get an amen from somebody? Oh, I got my sign. And a stone was brought, laid upon the mouth of the den. The king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed because of the law of the Medes and the Persians. You see, we run into that again. Then the king went to his palace passed the night fasting, neither were instruments played for him. Then the king arose early the next morning, went in haste into the den of lions, and when he came to the den of lions, he cried out in a lamentable voice, Daniel! Daniel! Servant of the living God! Is anyone hearing me? Is that God whom thou serve continually? Is he able to deliver you from the lions? Talk to me, Daniel. Woo! I just want to know, what do you think happened to the king's heart when Daniel said, bruh? It's all right. What? Get this rock open. They may change their mind by the time you get me out of here. Is that what Daniel said? Have you ever seen God come through for you? Can you remember the emotions? Can you remember the peace? I am sorry, Christians, to tell you this. God does not want you just to have the peace after he comes through. He wants you to rest in him as he is coming through. Pastor, that's just not feasible. You're going to worry. You're going to sin. Do you know that was a lie from the pit? Well, we're only human. Well, I thought you have been promoted into a supernatural life. Watch your pastor. See if it's true. I do not worry. God can do anything he wants with me. And I am just as restful as people. I get tired, just like you. I get sick, just like you. I don't like the limp, just like you. But man, oh man, can God and I have a good time through it all. Oh, can we Christians get as excited as the king? Daniel! Woo! Talk to me, baby! It's all right, bro. It's all right. God came through. He shut the mouths of the lions, and I'm just as fine today as I was yesterday. Anybody else can relate to this? Nope. Some of you are saying right now, well, God never came through the way he came through for the Jews and Esther, for me. He ain't never came through for me the way he came through the Israelites there at the Red Sea. He didn't come through for me like he came through right here for Daniel. One question you ought to ask yourself is why not? Maybe we don't live good enough to be put in the den. Maybe we'll quit before we get there. But all of you have related to this one. Are you ready? As we get ready to close it up, some of you guys are saying amen on the closing. John. Come on now. John. Chapter 20. Verse 19, say praise the Lord when you get there. John chapter 20. Let's look at verse 19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, peace be unto you. What do you think the disciples were like with Jesus standing in the middle of them when he was in a grave last night? When he was dead just a short time ago. Woo! Do you think they was elated? You think they just, what? What? Oh my goodness. Our Savior is alive. You said, well, I haven't experienced that. The only way you can't experience the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ is because you hadn't accepted him yet. If you've accepted him, you realize he is alive. We got a risen Savior. We don't have a dead Savior. We're not like other religions. Muhammad is dead. Can I have an amen? Dead. Is the boy got back yet? No. How about Muhammad? I think he just is dead. Can I get an amen? He's stiff. Eaten by worms by now. Well, no, the worms is dead because ain't nothing else to eat. Can I have an amen? Gone. Through. How? We have a risen Savior. But too many of us are like Thomas. Look at verse 24. But Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, he too would have been beat up in my neighborhood. Name like Didymus. Ooh. He went with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said, until I see him, see, I see the prints of the nails, and I put my finger in the prints of the nails and thrust my hand into his side, I am not going to believe. No, no, no. You was with him for 3 years. I ain't going to believe. I'm not going to trust him. I can't believe that. You've been a Christian 3 years. You've been a Christian 5 years. I don't believe. You've been a Christian 10 years, 15, 20 years. Well, I got a right to worry. Shame on us. And Jesus says, I take care of that. And he showed up. And Thomas said, my Lord and my God. Blessed are you, Thomas, for you believe because you've seen. Blessed are those who believe and haven't seen. Now, what do you think that means, folks? Are you going to only believe when God comes through? Do you only believe because you've seen him answer your prayer? Do you believe? Can you rest when you haven't seen? Can you believe when they haven't come through yet? Can you have peace regardless of what the situation is? Woe is me if I ever lived that way. And woe is you if you are living that way now. You are missing out on one of the most exciting times in your life. We need to change our thinking. And if you don't change your thinking, you need to change your mind. If you don't want to change your mind, you need to change your name. Don't call yourself a Christian because you are a bad witness